9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Go Plug Yourself podcast. On this week's episode, we play host to Raquel Maestre. She has so much going on right now. She's about to produce the last very pretentious comedy show, or at least the last one for a little while. It'll be back, but it's going on a hiatus. She also is working on a fringe show about attractive librarians or admiring librarians. The librarians are involved, so sit back, relax, enjoy the show, and go plug yourself. And by the way, we have Walter J. Ling returning to co-hosting duties this week, so enjoy that as well.
2, 1, hit it.
Go plug yourself, you plugging mother plugger. Go plug yourself, you plugging mother plugger. Go plug yourself, go plugging mother plugger. Go plug yourself, it's time for another Go Plug Yourself podcast.
Walter's back. Now he's silent. Walter's
now you're
back.
Going.
Yeah, now I'm going.
Yeah, I bet. Walter hasn't been here in a while.
Well, in an official interviewing capacity, it's been about a year.
Yeah, usually
you've been on like shit shows and
show
stuff.
Show up doing some kind of jackassy kind of like.
I think I don't know if it was the last official one, but I think Bob Anger was the last one that jumps to mind, and that was about a year ago.
Well, it felt like a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Walter's back. We're back at Grumpy's. It's like an OG.
Yeah, it's like, what is it, 2014?
It's 2014. I think, you know when we started the show?
Oh, a long fucking time
2011.
Ago. I know, it's too long.
That's
ago,
too many.
Yeah.
But I like that we do it every 2 weeks because we're not, we still haven't hit 300 episodes.
We recorded a million fucking podcasts and never drew a fucking dime.
That's right.
Not a dime.
And.
But now. Now it's pro territory land.
Yeah,
rotating hosts.
Rotating hosts.
You still got the same fucking shitty headsets.
But they're
that still somehow fit my head even with all the hair.
It's really only a problem for you and Leland and Sarah and the other way around.
You just named like what, 4 people? It's really only a problem for all these people I can think of immediately.
And then Sarah has the reverse problem, I think, because you wore the headsets that, like,
yeah,
they just float
head
on her
is
tiny
the size
head.
Of my fist, like...
I don't know, I kind of like them.
Yeah, okay,
well, I like it a lot, too. Like,
our guess, what's important is that, our guess...
It fits really nice. It's neither too large nor too small. It's a good head for these.
Yeah, it's a real Goldilocks mic. our guest likes the mic, and I guess that's what's important.
Yeah. So much so that you thought about purchasing something similar if ever you get into podcasting.
Yeah, indeed.
So they're
I think
there.
These were the last ones ever made. I don't think you could get these anymore.
They're limited edition.
Yeah. They were discontinued for causing, like, cranial bleeding.
welcome back to the show. I didn't actually go back to look to when it was on last time, but it's probably 2021?
I think it was
2022. Yeah, because 2022, because I don't think there was a Lady Fest in 2021. Yeah. It might have still been.
No, there was
the
no
COVID
ladies that
times.
Year.
Yep.
No.
No ladies.
That was the issue.
Raquel Maestre.
Maestre.
Close?
That's right. Walter got it right. Maestre.
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 Yeah. I think it was Inez.
It always reminds me of like. Royalty, I think. Somehow.
I think Inez taught me how to pronounce your name.
But not her. But not Inez's name.
I still can't say. I still can't pronounce Inez's name. But yeah, she helped me with yours. So and it wasn't me specifically, but I was in a chat group where somebody was hosting a show. I think that you were on, and they hadn't met you, so they're asking like, how do I pronounce this last name?
Okay.
And then Inez dropped a little voice note in the chat group,
like, a voice
like Maestre, and I'm like. That seared in my mind.
Was Sarag in that group chat?
Potentially.
Okay.
But I don't think it was him asking.
Did Sarag suddenly start pronouncing your
no,
name correctly?
No, because I was shocked one day at the Nest, and he hadn't met me, and he was hosting, and he introduced me, and like it was flawless pronunciation
of
my name.
Oh, well, but Sarag is just, he's just a scholar and a gentleman.
Well-traveled.
No, I was impressed.
He knows his shit. He's, you know, he speaks like 8 languages. And.
It's doubly confusing for me, because on social media... You're largely just Raquel May.
Only in Facebook.
Which is what I follow because I'm old.
yeah.
So I'm just like May, and then
follow
I was
my Instagram.
I should, but I don't go on Instagram that often. My wife gets mad at me that I send her like you know like the little like Neither one of us actually use TikTok because we're both too old.
I use TikTok. We're both on TikTok. Me and Nicole are both on TikTok. Yeah.
But you're spied.
We're
TikTok buddies.
Exactly, yeah.
Either way, so we send those little short videos. She sends me short videos on Instagram, in my Instagram inbox, and I send the little TikTok videos in Facebook, and she gets mad at me because she's like, why aren't you sending these on Instagram? And I was like, I don't get as many, like...
I don't like using Instagram Messenger.
I don't get as many cute dog videos on my Instagram as I do on my Facebook. And
who's sending you dog videos?
Sarah and I almost exclusively send each other cute dog videos. It's our love language.
I use both. I'm so addicted to my phone that I have parallel conversations with the same people on both Facebook and Instagram.
That's crazy.
We have parallel conversations. There's like an unwritten code of like what goes where.
Yeah, kind of. So I have that with like Kayla De Leon. Is our regular chat is usually Instagram, but if we're planning something, it goes into like Messenger. Like if it's like hey, or like we're hanging out or whatever, that's in Messenger. But just like our bullshit chat is in Instagram, and they're separated entities. I would never be like, hey, where are we meeting on an Instagram Messenger? Wouldn't even occur to me. I'd be like, that goes in Facebook Messenger. My brain is wired somehow.
Makes sense.
TikTok's where it's at though.
Is it?
I wish I could be a Chinese spy. I would love to be a Chinese spy.
What would you spy on?
I don't care. Whatever, man. Like whatever.
Yeah, like I'll put the work in.
Yeah.
I'll just do it.
Set me up.
I think
if it boosts those views, get the likes and the views up, yeah, I'll do it.
Wait, so your plan is to increase your own TikTok like
That's right.
clout
yeah.
via spying on other people.
That's right.
Okay, I think that's how the TikTok works.
I'm going to do spy stuff, and then TikTok's going to, like, juice the views, you know?
You know, like, I'll get paid in views.
Because sometimes they charge you, like, $45 if you want to add,
yeah,
like,
you're
10,000
like, hey, TikTok. Hey, TikTok, I will spy for you in exchange of, like, put me at the top of the algorithm.
That's right.
Yeah. I think this is how this works. Raquel, how you been? How's, like, I think things have been treating you well since we last spoke. You now have a regular comedy show that I heard is going on hiatus in a pre-interview, but it was still...
You can't talk about the pre-interview during the interview.
Oh, shit, I broke the fourth...
It breaks the illusion.
I broke kayfabe. A very pretentious comedy show I've seen has been doing, like, a lot... Looks like a lot of fun, a lot of fun
It's a
lineups.
Very fun show.
Yeah. I started doing it in December 22.
Okay.
And it's... become a monthly in March 31st. We're going to do number 15. It's been a lot of fun. I had most of my favorite comedians in the city, and it's grown to be like its own thing. It's a bit different mm-hmm. from like a lot of the shows in the city. It's been a lot of fun. But yeah, I'm gonna take a little break from it during the spring, because you know I'm a busy producer. Besides the very pretentious, I also run with a few other comics, the Polymic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard about it.
I've heard about it.
I've seen it.
I've heard things.
It's a weekly queer open mic, but open to anyone. At Notre Dame de Kiel, it's a lot of fun. It's going really well, so well that we started doing like a double bill.
Okay.
So 7 p.m. it's the open mic, and 9 p.m. we're doing shows from different producers, getting experimental. So yeah, there's a lot going on.
Now, I hate to interrupt at this point, and we'll put a pin in that because we're going to talk about the other things you got coming up and the thing that you're taking the break for. But now, I just want to table this. If you don't like it, you throw it right back, okay?
Yeah.
It'll be done. But I'm saying, the Polymic, great name, solid name. But what if it could be called Poly Wanna Mic, and then there's a parrot. And there's like a parrot and pirate theme. And it's called Polly Wanna Mic. And instead of putting giving crackers to a parrot,
this sounds like a pitch to the 9 p.m.
It'd be the microphone.
This could be the 9 p.m. slot.
Polly Wanna Mic. and then you get both the bird theme, still the Polly theme,
and pirates.
And pirates maybe.
Yeah.
Because everybody likes pirates.
I'll run it by the team.
Polly Wanna Mic.
I'll run it by the team, you know, maybe we need to be more inclusive of
the pirates.
Bird
the pirate community, the tropical
pirates,
bird.
Yeah.
It's an idea. I'm just saying it's an idea.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of faith in it, but it's an idea.
I can see the poster now. Pauly Wanamike. And then hear me out more. I feel like let's say there's people out there who don't their first thought isn't going to a Pauly Mike. But they see there's this mic called Pauly Wanamike, and then you get those people in there, and then they see what it actually is once they're there, and then they check that out anyway. So you're getting like, so it's like you're introducing new people into the thing. Oh, just the idea.
You
just
think
gives.
That the angle is gonna bring a new audience?
The pirate angle, yes.
If I can pitch another idea, and just specifically to Walter, just and I know that Walter might even run with this idea. How about Pauly Knife?
No.
Pauly Knife.
Pauly Knife.
Like it's like Knife Fight.
It's my old Fringe show. I had an old Fringe show called Knife Fight.
Ah. So.
But
yeah.
Pauly, you see,
it would be terrible.
Yeah.
Pauly Knife is awful.
No, mine was everybody could love.
Yeah.
It's like it's
Pauly
it's
Knife.
Very,
I feel would
mine
be
was very accessible.
Off-putting
yeah, yours,
to
yeah,
everybody.
Very off-putting. It's off-putting to me. But yeah, anyway, I stand by Pauly Wanamike.
I'm going to run it by the team.
Yeah. Don't say it was my idea. Don't say it was my idea. I feel like then once they're all into it, be like, and guess what?
This was
none other than local legend Walter Ling's idea. And then they'll be like, oh, my God.
So you're counting that they won't listen to this episode?
Well.
Damn it. Listen, but if you pitch it in the next 7 days,
yeah, get out ahead of it.
Okay.
Get out
there's a time frame before the episode gets released.
We're going to do an update episode later on to see how well the pitch went.
Mm-hmm. Just spoilers, this show is over and the new show is called Pauly Wanamike.
Yeah, I'm going to take
go
it.
Go plug
you
yourself
don't.
It just ends.
Yeah, Pauly Wanamike.
It's Pauly Wanamike. I wanted to ask about pretentious comedy show, a very pretentious comedy show, because it's not just pretentious.
It's very
pretentious. So like when you started it off, what was the, I guess like what was the gap you were trying to fill, and then how have artists sort of like, if say you book someone like Mike Carrozza, like you're like, hey, this is a very pretentious comedy show. How do you pitch the like, you're like, what kind of material, bring your most pretentious material, like do you ask them to cater
not,
to be extra pretentious?
Not really. I have to say that the concept of the show has evolved.
Okay.
I didn't know what I was doing when I came up with it.
Nobody does.
And it was more aspirational than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was reading a book by British comedian Stuart Lee.
Okay.
Who is quite pretentious and I like a lot. And it was more of an aspirational thing. I wanted to set a general tone and more at the beginning because now I don't even think I'm that, you know, I feel like my style has changed a little bit. But I guess when I started, it was a bit intellectual, whatever. And we started having live jazz piano.
I like that element. That's like that's very classy, pretentious. Yeah.
And it's just like the general tone, but I don't think I've ever told comedians that
like bring your pretentious material.
No, some do, and I love when that happens. Like Walter, like the first time he did it, like I he had some pretentious material that
I tried. Yeah, I feel like
Yeah, so I really enjoy when comedians adapt to it, but I let everyone do their thing, and it's like a nice mix of
I mean, being a comedian is like pretentious in itself.
It depends.
In lots of ways.
It depends.
No, it's pretty big.
Being like, I would like to stand up here with a microphone, everybody be quiet and pay attention directly to me. I have something worth listening to.
I mean, you put it that way.
But I think, you know, yeah, the show is really not that pretentious, but I was able to play mind games with a section of the audience into, like, tricking them into believing that the show is, you know, worth attending and paying attention to. I think for like, the whole of last year, you know, we were very lucky having a good turnout of people that were listening to the jokes and like, you know, they thought, oh wow, this is
I think you set set a little bit of audience expectation though.
Yeah.
And you say like whether it's the comedy, but I think I'm going to show up and listen versus like if I name my show like Laugh a Minute Funny Fest, you're like, yeah, no, I'm gonna be jackasses are gonna show up.
Like everyone I've been to has been packed and. Yeah. And
respectful crowd.
And I think, but no, they've been like packed. And,
yeah, but
and I think you've moved the show a couple times, or at least once. Like you started one place, and now you're at Lingvare. Are you still at Lingvare?
This might be the last one.
Okay.
So I guess
edit point.
I was gonna say we alluded to it. Well, hang on, we alluded to it earlier, but the one that's coming up at the end of March.
Yeah.
Where's that gonna be?
Is that Café La Ligne Verte?
Yeah. And that is going to be your last chance.
In front of Frontenac Metro, which is, if you're paying attention, the most pretentious of all metro stations, Frontenac.
I know, yeah.
Very classy, very...
Yeah. Frontenac.
Frontenac, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of pretentious stuff happens around Frontenac.
So, yeah. Lovely neighbor.
But I was going to say, it'll be your last chance to see it until presumably sometime either later in the summer.
The summer. Summer.
That's it. So. Because there is a hiatus coming. So if you're listening, and we just said they're already packed... Get tickets now.
Yeah, exactly.
Do
if, you, if you like Very Pretentious, come see it now. Because if not, you're going to have to just see me doing like 30-30s at the Poly Mic or my Fringe show.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. the show started at the Diving Bell. Mm-hmm. And it was perfect for the Diving Bell. We did one at La Poubelle Magnifique for Gigglefest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I tried to stay at the Diving Bell until they had to close.
The RIP Diving
Bell. RIP Diving Bell.
I'm keeping an eye on when they come back.
Are they not coming back in another location? Is that the plan? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much I can say publicly, but
they've been on social media. They've been alluding to the fact that they are...
Yeah, they're looking for a place.
Exactly. There is interest and desire and motivation and stuff about a second one. They're not
That was a sweet room, though. It's too bad.
It was great.
Did anyone ever, like, wonder about calling it the Diving Bell when you need to, like, go so high? When you need to, like, ascend?
I don't know. I don't think that
I never
figured
asked,
into it.
I never asked.
It's always been like,
that never
like,
occurred
it's
to the, me. I never had a problem with that, Keith. You know?
I'm not saying I have a problem with it.
I
thought maybe it was, like, intentionally clever to be like,
I don't think,
it's
no,
not
I don't,
a
no.
Diving Bell. It's in the basement. Like, you're going underwater. No, you're going up 3 flights of stairs.
I always assume that, you know, they stumble upon, like, you know, submarine-related decoration. And they just built around it.
They bought one of those, like, storage lockers, and they opened it up, and there was, like, the diving helmet, and they're like, we need to do a bar.
Yeah. exactly.
Let's go. I love the Diving Bell as a venue and as a vibe in general, but it was just, I always thought it was funny that it was diving and you were going up. So that'll be, we said March 31st?
March 31st, Sunday, I've always tried to do the shows Sundays, and lately it was last Sunday.
Which is the most pretentious day of the week. It's the day reserved from traditionalists for God.
Yeah.
Which is automatically a little pretentious. If you're going to say it's the day for worship... That's pretentious.
Yeah. Today for worshiping me.
There you go. Taking Back Sunday. Taking Back Sunday, the band.
I was going to say, is that like a pop punk band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But is that what they're about?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Can we get a little preview of the Fringe show? What's happening?
Yeah, so
we're just
going
show?
On hiatus due to a Fringe show. Is like guess where we're leading to.
So I am doing a Fringe show, I can say that, and it's going to be great. What is it going to be?
Can we get an excerpt of the script right now?
live table read.
I can give you the name of the show is Admiring Librarians.
Oh.
Admiring Librarians.
Provocative.
It's going to be kind of a one-woman show. But not quite.
No.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right.
We'll see. I've been doing... I did one this month, and I will do another 30-30 next month at the Poly Mic to prepare for it. I'm very excited about it. I can't say much other than it's just going to be very, very personal, very my shit, my bullshit.
Yeah.
There's going to be a few comedians, friends of mine that will open for it. There's a few things I'm working on. But yeah, it's...
Was this a case, as I often hear about, we do the Fringe podcasts and stuff every year. when you entered the Fringe lottery, did you have a show in mind? Or were you like, I could do it. I'll just enter, and if I get it, I'll deal with it then. Was the...
I think it's going to look... I'm going to look bad if I'm honest. So,
I mean, there have been a number of people on this show and on our Fringe series who have admitted to being like, I just entered, and then when I got it, I was like, oh shit, I need to do a show. Well, so there's no shame in
me
that.
Being one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Walter, and then and parlaying that into multiple Fringe appearances.
Yeah, I got a lifetime achievement award out of the deal.
I'll just say, you know, whoever follows me, whoever comes regularly to my shows, I'm taking a break from the pretentious for 3 months to work on this. I've never worked on anything for 3 months. So, you know,
life.
It has to be so much better than anything I do. Like, I'm producing 3 shows per month.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's going to be so good.
It's going to be at least 9 shows worth of entertainment.
Exactly. It's exactly.
Yeah. No, I mean, a lot of people have said that where you're just like, not to say that they use that as an excuse, but a lot of people say that Fringe lottery process, they're like, I'll enter with like a bit of an idea, and then if I get the spot, it becomes the motivation to like run with the idea and expand it to its full form.
I didn't even have to wait for the lottery because I got the early bird.
All right.
I am that kind of person.
Do you know, you don't know what your venue is yet or anything? Is it too early?
I know, but I can't say it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because it's not 100% confirmed.
Okay,
so
okay.
More perks of the early bird, I guess.
I think they gave me... I think the venue is a bit too big.
It's
putting me pressure.
No, it'll be
putting
great.
Pressure on me.
No, it'll do great.
It'll be amazing. Don't worry.
No, but and if any listeners... I'm joking. I'm very confident that I'm going to give you
that was just
an
jokes.
Amazing show, and you're all going to come, and you're going to love it, and you're going to make me a star.
And I said, you're saying it's like a one-woman show, but is it going to be purely stand-up? Is it going to be stand-up storytelling? Or, and again, at this stage, it might evolve.
No.
I don't want to make false promises to anybody, but...
In the end, it will be just me dancing flamenco. to honor my
it's Fringe.
Heritage.
They can't stop you.
Yeah. No.
If that's what your heart tells you to do.
My original idea was just doing something like very conventional stand-up. Mm-hmm. But the more I thought about it and the more like some comedians that I trust have encouraged me to do something a bit more experimental, different, interesting. Mm-hmm. So... It's probably going to be a mix of storytelling and stand-up and maybe some sprinkles of sketch.
Oh, the forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
Sketch comedy.
Sketch comedy? Like, I had never done anything. Last night, I did a show that I guess you could call it a long sketch, and I had so much fun. I also want to plug it because... I'm confident we will get to Sketchfest.
Mm-hmm.
The last comedy open mic on a rocket ship into the sun.
Okay. The last comedy open mic on a rocket ship into the sun.
Yeah, I'm throwing a million shows to the listeners. you're not going to be able to keep up with all of them, but yeah, this...
What is that? Because I've seen it talked about on Facebook.
We did it last night. It's produced and created... by Lauren Mallory.
Do you want another?
And
just keep going.
And it was. It's set in the future, in the year 2048. Like it's the end of the planet.
Right.
And some people just are done with the apocalypse, the climate catastrophe, World War IV, and just board a rocket ship to just crash into the sun and kill ourselves. And on the trip to the sun, someone has started a comedy open mic on the cafeteria of the rocket ship.
Right.
And there's a lot of jokes about the end of the world, but they were also satirizing stand-up comedy, the open mic scene, Brad McDonald, Steve Adams, Ellie Gill, and me, we are the comics, and we all are like a parody of different type of comedy. And me, I was doing like, yeah, my character is like pretty much all the things that annoy me about queer comedians. I was doing it, and also I have like some drama with one of the other comedians.
Oh yeah. But within the fiction of this.
Within the fiction.
Yes, yes.
It's all fiction.
Sure.
But yeah, it was.
And was this the first one, or is this like a series?
It was the first one.
And it's always going to be this theme around this rocket ship to the sun, or.
It's mostly going to be. I don't want to speak for Lauren, but I think we want to do it on Sketchfest, and then we'll see. But I love the idea.
I also applied for Sketchfest, so I'm hoping to get into that. But I have a much less my pitch was much less polished and specific or targeted.
What was it? Do you want
to? It was the if anybody's listening, world's smallest sketch troupe, huh?
And it's just you.
And no.
Because then it would be the world's truly
no,
the world's
no, no,
smallest.
No, 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 it's the world's smallest crew.
Made famous by a world's smallest Christmas.
Exactly. So it'll be like a multimedia kind of thing. There might be some like video elements incorporated.
Cool.
Somehow. We'll work it out.
Yeah. I mean, I look forward
if
to see
accepted.
It. They will.
They got my $25.
They will.
They will.
They'll accept
they
it.
They will.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't seen a world's smallest Christmas...
My God, what great acting.
Oh, thank you.
You were so good in it.
Thank you so much.
Walter's accent is hilarious at all times.
Yeah, it's because like I watched Deadwood last year, and I was...
So you were doing Ian McShane?
Yeah, I was deeply inspired by the Al Swearengen character from Deadwood. Have you ever seen Deadwood?
No,
you know what Deadwood
I
is? It was a
this
HBO
is a Western.
Yes, HBO.
Based
Western.
On the real town of Deadwood, which I had visited 2 years ago.
Oh, you went to Deadwood?
I went to Deadwood. Sarah, my wife was very convinced that Deadwood was like the made up town name of a country Western town.
Did you spitefully bring Sarah to a place to prove her wrong?
No. We occasionally do like very loose road trips where like we for reasons that
this
were
is going to be a good aside.
Wedding related. We were like, we're going to be flying out to, like, fly over states like Minnesota and whatever. And we're like, what to do then? And we're like, I was like, the Black Hills of South Dakota, we're never going to go there. Let's drive through.
Would go there.
Oh, you'd love it.
Yo.
So many slanted little buildings that you get to, like, walk around in and stuff. Like, toy museums on the side of the road.
What?
Like, yeah, all kinds. It's like roads.
Skip to the Deadwood part.
Anyway, and so I was like, oh, shit, we got to go to, like, Deadwood. And Sarah's like, oh, like, they made, like, a town after the show.
Like a,
and I was
like,
and I was like, no, it's, like, a historical place called Deadwood. And she's like, America's so messed up that they were like, Deadwood is one of our like founding towns.
It's not a founding town. It was a pioneer town. It was
around for a while.
Yeah, but it was like an old west town.
Also, we found out while in Deadwood that Deadwood was one of the only places up until like extremely recently where you could gamble outside of like Atlantic City and Vegas.
Is that not because it's on indigenous land?
They had. Like,
is it not? I thought it was on a reservation.
You don't want to get into land in South Dakota.
I made a very innocuous statement one way or another.
I'm just saying.
I thought
all the land is indigenous land in South Dakota, but even on the American.
That's a true story?
Yeah. Yeah, big time.
It's all.
Crazy Horse, you know, fought and died for it. That was like a big deal.
So are there, is like the land.
Unceded land, much like Montreal is like unceded territory.
So like the casino laws are.
It wasn't the indigenous casino laws. Like Deadwood was America, and you could still gamble in America, and they had little gambling resorts in like the 50s and 60s.
No shit.
Yeah.
As a tribute to its
old gambling west kinda, old western roots. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
great. Yeah, oh, I want to go
like
there
a,
so
it was
much.
Like a tiny little pocket of legal gambling, which was like it was not.
I don't know if this sounds appealing to you in any way, Raquel. Going to an old
historically,
west
it was very exciting. You can drink at the bar where Billy the Kid was murdered.
You could.
Okay.
You know.
You know. You're like a little bit of history.
I mean, I like history. I have to say that the whole Wild West is not what appeals to me the most, but...
I think it's...
Well, I mean, Spain has a rich history of producing Westerns, right, in the 70s.
Yeah, and, very close to where I'm from, actually.
Oh, which is where, again?
Like, I'm from Murcia, and all those spaghetti Westerns were, like, in the desert in Almeria, right in the southeast.
Right.
Because it's...
Yeah. I'm more familiar, obviously, with my Italian... spaghetti western makers, but I know there was
no, but like the Italians were filming it
in Spain.
Spain,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Spain kind of had like, the, like a certain areas like deserty, so they were like close enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Bang.
So like, there's like a fake western town yeah. in there that you can still visit.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
I never really watched the spaghetti westerns. Mm-hmm. My only knowledge of that is like there was like this video game from the 90s. Do you know, like, early, mid-90s when there were video games that were, like, actual video?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, FMV. Full
FMVs.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So there was, like, a...
What the fuck? Hold on. Pause. Why did both of you know that thing? What did you just say? What's
FMV?
What does that stand for?
Like full motion video. But it was, like, when there was, like... You know when you're playing the game and you're playing...
You just
like
both just rattle that off. Like you
we
like,
both play video games.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, go
like,
on.
Do you remember when you're...
Go on. Sorry, no, fuck
no,
it.
But I'm just saying, but do you remember when you're playing a video game and it looks like one way and then it cuts to, like, a movie?
Sure, yeah.
And it's, like, actors?
That's quick FMV. Time video, yeah.
Like, FMV cutscenes means it stops being animated and starts being filmed.
Okay, I'm sorry I interrupted. Go on.
So there was, like, this video game, this Spanish video game in the mid-90s where they shot it in that town with a bunch of, like, the secondary actors that had been on the spaghetti westerns.
Nice.
And it's, like, a western theme.
What was the game?
I don't think it was ever translated to English.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was all in Spanish. It was like Los Justicieros.
Deep cut.
One more time?
Los Justicieros.
Which means?
What does that translate?
The Justice Men?
Justice Men?
Or something like that. Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, man. I would have played the shit out of a game called Justice Men.
Justice Men. Yeah, those, like, that was like basically when they, largely in my mind, FMV... like became a model when they started to be able to like have like games on CD.
Yeah.
Right? Where they were like all of a sudden the storage capacity
like the
expanded.
LucasArts games
where
and
they
shit,
were like we could just throw videos on them. Like we don't need to render this.
Back then it seemed so cool, but now you play them and they're all so boring.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like real video and people talking. The first time I saw that in a video game, I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. And now you look back and you're like,
now,
terrible.
I see enough videos of people talking all day on Instagram.
You guys are on TikTok.
Yeah.
Did you not work in the video game industry here?
Yes,
briefly,
I do.
Briefly, are we not? Do you not want to? We not? Is that a?
Yeah.
Is that a
I'm gonna plug my LinkedIn.
Nice.
You are. I think, judging from social media, like a gamer. Like, you do seem to post.
I'm actually not that much of a gamer.
Okay. But there was that game, that weird not Civilization.
Well, he pays attention
but
to
like
my
like
Facebook.
Because I'm also
Victoria.
Friends, yeah,
Victoria.
I'm also friends
like,
with,
what's that?
With Guillaume. And
he used to be my boss.
Yeah. So there was overlap in those threads.
What is
threads.
Victoria? What are we talking
it
about?
It was insane.
It's like the nerdiest
shit
ever.
It was like a game that I was like, if ever I'm like fired from my job and Sarah's leaving town for 3 months, I'd be like, ooh, let me influence society in strange ways.
So
that's the game.
Imagine Risk.
Sure.
But
love Risk.
Everything about the economy, the society, and the politics of the 19th century, every fucking detail is there.
It, like, mostly appears to be spreadsheets.
How do you play this? What platform is this on?
PC.
Ah,
yeah.
I see.
PC. And so you run a country. You can choose whatever country in the world in the 19th century. It doesn't matter how small or big.
Right.
And you have to manage the economy, the politics, the war, the diplomacy,
but like in
industrialized,
minutia.
Sure,
the minutia of industrializing any nation in the 19th century, making sure.
And you got into this?
Oh my God. I like, you know, look, I knew that I was trans from a very young age, but I had to be in denial until like 29th. So, you know, it was a very useful game to help me dissociate. I dissociated for like,
but you could, but like
10 years playing that, managing
but
the
like,
economy of
I'm
Prussia.
Wrong, like you could if Prussia. You wanted to, from this game, be like, we're going to be in the 19th century with all the struggles that may come along with it. My society is going to be like LGBTQ positive immediately. And like, can you push? Like your society will
it
be.
It doesn't.
Maybe,
the game doesn't go that far.
Should.
There are mods. Some people.
Okay.
Put that thing into it, but.
Because yeah. that was the part that appealed to me, to be like, if I could just like dominate society's thinking in a
way.
Oh,
I get it. And it's called Victoria because it's the Victorian age.
Yeah.
I just put it together. There it is.
Yeah, but like in the last
like,
one.
I'm going to legalize gay marriage in the 1800s. Let's go.
In the last one, you know, if you want to pass reforms to give equal rights to women, you might get like a civil war breaking out in the country.
Yeah, yeah, because people
stuff
will be like
that.
No, I refuse.
Yeah. So.
And is there any parts where you gotta like jump off buildings and like assassinate people and stuff?
Not assassinate.
No, because it's all.
Fuck.
It's all only maps and spreadsheets.
Yeah, exactly. It's like all the screens
no action.
Are like maps.
No maps and spreadsheets.
Only.
That's what the game should be called. Maps and spreadsheets. It's like snakes and ladders. There's maps and spreadsheets.
There's
you want
like
to avoid both.
There's like an American football game called like something like a football manager or whatever else. That is, there is no football in the game. It is like exclusively.
I've played a lot of those games in my life.
Yeah, that's it. And like it's
soccer
still has, like,
and,
still has,
and
like,
basketball.
Yeah, it still has like a big following of like you are just being the general manager. And again, like in those levels of minutia of like, how is the team profitable? What are you setting ticket prices at? What's your marketing budget? And you're like, most of it's not even related to football. Like, football is one thing you're managing, but then you manage everything else.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Those games, like, they seem like rabbit holes to me.
I've played so much of that.
Yeah.
So much. And
is
that's.
There is there a best one? Is there like a best one? Is there one that where you're like, I would go back?
These days, I still need to dissociate a little bit every now and then.
Okay.
And, this might seem out of character to anyone who, like, sees my stand-up. But there's, like, a free browser game called Basketball GM, where you're the general manager of an NBA team. And it's free. And you can, like, play, like, any season. You can start in the 70s with the real players.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just there. Trading players, trying to make money, trying to win championships. And when I don't want to think about things, I just play that for like an hour. And I recommend that one. But it's simple.
Yeah.
And you have to like, I don't watch basketball anymore. I don't have time. But when I was younger, I appreciated it. That's my recommendation. It's free, so.
What was your favorite team?
Right. Huh?
What was your favorite team?
European ones, so we're not gonna bother with
Let's
that.
Let's hear it though.
I used to be a big supporter of my hometown's team, CB Murcia, but this awful ultra Catholic university bought the team.
Oh, no.
And I don't like those people, so now I want my hometown team to lose.
Have they been?
Huh?
Have they been losing?
No, since they
Damn
bought
it.
Them, they've been win. They always were one of the
saying,
worst teams in
you
the
want
Spanish
them to, like,
league.
Buy it and then be like, take that, and then they like nosedive. But
and
now they pumped Catholic money into it.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, like, what do they call, like, the Francos now? But like, that's. Seems
no, it's just the name of the university.
Right.
Because in Europe, anything that is not soccer, it's kind of funny. It's very goofy, because the teams don't make that much money in the sports. So the companies just pay the money so they carry their names. So it's like it's like if here it was like the Costco Winnipeg against I don't know, Provigo Montreal.
Yeah.
That's how.
Which I mean, they're like they basically are all that. They just like they just there's like a pretense that they're like, oh, it's the Montreal Canadiens. It's not the Molson Bell Montreal Canadiens. You know, like because that's what. But we know that's what it is. The primary shareholders are those two corporate conglomerates. It's more honest, I think, to just slap the names in front because that's how it is. Like it's not like the city has any real say in it. It's the sponsors that own it and tell you what to do.
Sometimes it gets very goofy. I can't think of any example, but sometimes, you know, very like boring gray companies of like, you know, well, replacement parts for like printers.
Like what's the, it's not boring, but I find it's fun. Like in hockey, the Seattle Kraken, so Amazon is like the primary holder, but they named the arena like the Climate Change Pledge Arena.
Yeah.
So they're like,
I've heard of that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're sort of like coming to you live from the Climate Change Pledge Arena.
Yeah.
And you're like,
fuck.
Like it's just like it's such a weird like mouthful, and then you're like,
brutal.
And then it's even worse that you know that you're like, as like little letters like paid powered by Amazon or whatever, and like that's the actual sponsor. And they just like threw this like weird corporate.
Is that what that is?
Yeah,
is that how that works? That's funny.
Yeah, the Climate Change Pledge Arena.
Jesus Lord.
Is paid for by Amazon.
Who cleared that?
Bezos.
Bezos himself. That's mm. My other favorite arena before that was the Smoothie King. Smoothie King Arena, the Smoothie King Center.
What was that? Where is that?
I think it's the NBA.
In New Orleans.
No.
So like next to where there's like there's the Superdome where they play football and shit, and the arena next to it is the I don't know if it still is, but for a while it was the Smoothie King Arena or like.
I've heard that name like
it's
NBA.
Hilarious.
Yeah,
like,
I was gonna say in Basketball Manager, you were like, I wanna buy the Smoothie King Arena.
Oh my god, I'm ashamed to admit that I play those games. This is not something I wanna. Yeah, it's not my best side. That's
no,
not
like,
the best.
I mean, you led up to it where you're like, when I want to disassociate, and everybody needs that, I think.
Oh yeah.
And I think that it's better to. Your sounds like way more productive than like doom scrolling, or whatever. If I want to disassociate.
Oh, I also doom scroll. I have two screens.
Oh wow.
I have a buddy of mine who will like routinely, like while he's allegedly working, will have like one screen watching League of Legends because he is working, he can't play, and then another, so like watching streamers play League of Legends, and then another screen with like a film on, and then he's like allegedly working on the third screen. And I was like, I don't think you are, like you're not, there's no way, like you're, he's like they don't pay me enough to for more than like 25% of my brain, so that's like all I'm giving them.
I think it's a great attitude to have in life, and I admire him. Yeah. Mm.
Walter, we're getting towards five questions time.
Or do you have new ones or?
New ones from like since Raquel's been on last. We've talked Fringe Show.
Yeah.
We've talked Very Pretentious.
Yeah.
We've talked Poly Mike.
Yeah.
Is there anything that needs to come up before we hit five questions?
Yes.
It's coming.
30-30 with Sandy Elvitar, great friend, great comedian, April 17, 9 p.m. at NDQ after the poly mic. Come see me get better live as it progresses through
as
the 30
goes.
Minutes. It's going to be great. And pay what you can. I'm not even asking you for money beforehand, so you should come. April 17.
You have to send all of this to me, Raquel, after the fact, so I can link to everything and link to all of the events. I texted you the questions, so you can ask them.
I'm gonna have to send you a spreadsheet with.
Yeah, exactly. Send me all the dates.
Yeah.
Fringe, I guess, is always like late May, early June.
Between June 6 and 16.
Yeah, early June.
Yeah.
Early June.
It's always around Saint Jean, or if it goes up to Saint Jean.
Saint Jean usually like ends it.
Yeah,
I, like,
it's no Father's Day. It's always Father's Day weekend is always in the middle.
All I know is that it's late into the NHL playoffs.
Let's openly speculate when the Fringe Festival might be.
I just told you. June 6th to 16th.
Oh, okay. Yes. That works too. Yeah.
Exactly.
Those dates. Yes.
It's always, and again, in the most.
I think it might be.
June 6th to 16th, actual dates for.
Another hour of podcasting.
For admiring librarians will be determined.
It's like somewhere Amy Blackmore is just like hearing this. And like,
damn it,
blood curdling. Like, Raquel is saying the real dates.
Exactly. She would. That would be 100% Amy. She'd be like, Keith and Walter suck so hard. Yeah, Raquel has the dates and everything. Keith and Walter are like, bop, bop, bop.
These fucking clowns.
I did want to ask when you mentioned it. Admiring librarians, is that from a lifetime of experience?
Oh yeah, I've admired librarians.
So in what capacity? Like, do you admire the fact that they know the Dewey Decimal System?
No, they're cute.
They're cute.
Yeah,
there's something.
I like that vibe.
I get it. I mean, you're not.
It's a show about.
You're not unlike a librarian vibe yourself.
No, I mean, yeah,
like, it's a librarian aesthetic. It's obviously an audio. Raquel is wearing like nice glasses, like a cute sweater with like a collar. Like, she would look more in place at a library than at the back of Grumpy's, if I was being honest.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I mean, I'm not saying that Grumpy's is like exclusionary.
Grumpy's
anyway.
Draws the librarian crowd a little bit.
I guess, kind of. There's about to be a bluegrass open mic.
What day? Any day of the week that I should.
I mean, I feel like,
I don't know, I feel like I've seen librarians.
There's going to be a bluegrass open mic jam, and I feel that a bluegrass jam librarian, there is a crossover.
I don't know, I never come here.
Where can you go pick up librarians?
Did you ever think about pursuing library sciences? That always blew my mind as a kid, like in school, that there was a thing called library sciences or whatever.
And is it the Dewey Decimal
system? I'm like, other than Dewey Decimal, what the fuck are you learning? Like,
I've met throughout my life people that studied that, and they all seem happy.
Yeah, I bet.
None of them work in libraries.
Because think about it, who else is going to go into it other than people who really want to do that?
Yeah.
We've touched upon the fact that you've, like, I guess, skirted the video game industry.
Yeah.
But have you ever thought about developing a game? And have you ever thought about developing a game? Exactly. Library manager.
Oh my god.
Hours of quiet excitement.
Hours of managing a library. It would appeal to such a niche, and that niche would love you forever.
I'll work on that after I release Open Mic Manager.
Open Mic Manager is a good one.
Hours upon hours of contained enthusiasm and being demure.
Library Manager sounds like such a great game to be like, congratulations, you're the librarian of a small town library.
Oh, I mean, I would play the shit out of that.
And I was like, and I feel that I'm not saying there's a huge user base, but the user base that you have would be like fanatical and devoted.
I know.
They would be so into it.
That's what I aim for with my comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fanatic.
Yeah, small core of fanatics that will kill for me.
Perfect. Oh no.
All right. I'm now checking my phone to see the questions Keith texted me.
You gotta kick it off. So five questions.
That's great.
We ask the same three questions to every guest. You've had another set of questions back in 2022, as far as I understand.
Mm-hmm.
We change them up every year or two, so you're on the cusp. We're gonna change them again around episode 300, and we're 4 or 5 episodes out.
I've seen these questions.
Yeah, they've been in place for about 2 years.
Even when I was hosting this show on a biweekly basis, I never remembered the questions. Like,
we set these immediately, like post pandemic, back at my place when we all got together. That was that set.
You say so.
Okay. Then the fourth question is from our previous guest to you, not knowing who it would be. And then our fifth question is, what question do you want to ask our next guest? So have that ready.
Yeah.
Thinking about question one.
Question one. What is your hottest take? What is your hottest take?
Like, of the moment, I guess. Like, you don't need to go all time, because I don't want to put too much pressure.
Okay. I think, you know, it's been on the news that the U.S. might ban TikTok.
Right.
I support that, but I wouldn't stop there. I think all social media platforms should be banned, effectively now.
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah.
It's pretty hot too.
All of them.
I can't disagree. However, I would say that like it should be legal for children to be on any social media at all. Like yeah. as like a rolling it back. You're going a hard ban, but I would be like across
letting the children.
Exactly. Across the aisle I would be like, I'm gonna like maybe say no to your hard ban, but I am going to agree to a hard ban on
age
like
restriction
age restriction to be like, you don't get to be on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. If you're under a certain age, your brain can't handle that much shit. Like that's my reaching across the aisle.
I don't think our brain can handle it at any age.
I don't think our brain can handle it, period.
My brain can barely handle it.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think anybody's brain can handle it. So I'm like, I agreed with your point, but I think the like walk it back to at least say children cannot be on any social media and like
okay.
enforce it.
Okay, we're compromising, getting
exactly.
negotiating
that's
here
what I'm saying.
In Congress.
That would be my.
Okay.
I think I agree with you. It's all bad, but that would be my. I don't think a developmental brain should have social media. And what do we stop developing in our like late teens, early 20s? You need to be 21 to have social media. That's my. You're allowed.
My
but
thing.
You need to be 21.
I think there is something to your take here. My only concern is that. If it was suddenly, like if all social media platforms were suddenly all taken away, I think you'd have like a massive amount of people just going into like almost like withdrawal-like symptoms.
I bet you more people would come out to comedy.
They
yeah,
would
or no,
leave
I think,
the
I think
house.
People would be killing each other in the streets.
Oh.
I think people wouldn't know what to do. I think there'd be like, you know, it'd be terrible. I think it would need to be weaned off. People would need to be weaned off, gradual withdrawal.
Okay, you're very pragmatic. You're like making it make sense. Okay, I can accept that amendment.
It's all about discussion. Question number two, to you, Raquel, who is the star of Sesame Street?
Ooh.
So we learned while you think about this that there are like multicolored Big Birds from other when this question came design.
No way. You're saying Big Bird is different in colors?
Yeah, Ines. Said that there's like another bird and it's a different color where she grew up. And then we looked it up and there are different Big Birds in different cultures. So I'm just filling
time
here.
So now you're going to learn about the Spanish star of Sesame Street.
See,
his name was Espinete and it was like a pink hedgehog.
Yes!
Espinete for like the
Espinete,
vine?
Espinete,
yeah. Yeah.
Pink hedgehog who wore t-shirts but never pants or underwear.
Somehow
classic.
That was such a like accepted fashion. Thing about animation and
it's like
cartoons.
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh, Donald Duck.
Yeah.
Fashion statement. Yeah.
Did he have a little hat or no?
No, just because the spikes were.
Spikes, of course.
It,
yes.
It was from the 80s, so
yeah.
It was like very
and pink,
punk.
And he was pink.
Pink. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And this, and he interacted with, like, the other Sesame Street characters?
Yeah. Well, because... No, I think the way it worked in countries where they did the adaptations is that... So there were, like, segments with the American Sesame Street characters, but in between the segments, there was, like, the local stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, because we have a Canadian local trio.
Yeah.
Like
Telly Monster?
No. Telly is everywhere. Ours is there's like Louie,
Steve,
Dottie, the pilot. Like we had like three. Louie spoke French and I think was a beaver.
Okay.
Dottie spoke whatever and then there was Basil. I might be wrong. But yeah, there was like a trio of Canadian Muppets and it was the same thing where they're like they're cut in to the main.
It's kind of like how they, you know, it's kind of like how they made Power Rangers, you know, where they just inserted the American actors.
Did Espinete have like a catchphrase? What was Espinete's personality?
Ooh.
Was it like a little kid or was it like very know-it-all? I'm just wondering about the
it
like.
It was a bit of a big hedgehog, bigger than.
A little hefty,
hefty hedgehog. Catchphrase, I don't remember.
I mean, not the Sesame Street characters didn't they didn't have catchphrases per se.
No.
Grover, I guess, would say some shit.
Like Super Grover. This
I mean Kermit, of course, would say hi-ho.
Cookie Monster screams cookies.
Yeah, I guess, you're right.
Oscar the Grouch says scram.
Yeah, you're right.
They all, not necessarily catchphrases, but like they have, like, go-tos.
Yeah. Well,
Espinete.
Thank you. That worked out. Espinete.
Whenever someone
saluda
like,
Espinete.
Exactly. Yeah. Whenever someone grew up, because like again, Ines was describing a Big Bird character, and then but was like blue or something, and I was like, what are you talking about? And it was, I guess they got the, it literally looks when she like Googled it like. They got a Big Bird costume and like just dropped it and died. Like I was like, and then they like shipped it off to like Bolivia. Like and that was it. They're like good enough and like sent it away. So the multicultural Sesame Street characters are deep in my heart.
Question number three. I think we've already sort of talked about a couple of these things earlier in the episode, but just for the record, what piece of media has been formative in your life? So it could be a movie, a TV show, a video game, anything really.
Okay, I already answered that question 2 years ago.
Shit, so we need to change that.
I'm gonna...
Come on, Keith.
I'm going to...
Are we gonna an addendum? We're gonna go back. Go back to episode 100 and...
New question. What piece of media in your life have you largely tried to avoid?
Okay,
if you want, I don't hate that question.
I like the opposite.
I'm sorry, but I really hate the show Friends.
Oh, that could have been a hot take answer.
Yeah.
Go on. See,
I don't know. Like, I always found it annoying since I was like a kid.
I have friends of mine who call it their cozy show. Like, as in, like, they watch it going to bed, like, to put themselves to sleep kind of thing. So they've gone through it multiple times, and I'm like, but it's problematic. And they're like, very much so. And, like, every time they rewatch it, they're like, it gets worse. And I was like, why are you still watching it? They were like, it's not just like, oh...
Because it's familiar.
100%. That's why it's the cozy show to put you to sleep. But you're like, but I was like, well, to your point, when you watched it the first time, it was never that funny, even.
Like, yeah, I mean,
it had some good like classic sitcom moments, but
I'm gonna say it's all my taste, my experience. I find it
crazy that it was like on at the same time as Seinfeld, and people were like the kings of sitcoms, Seinfeld and Friends, and I was like, one of those is so much better. Like, and like, I'm not saying Seinfeld doesn't have its problematic moments, whatever. Anything in the 90s did, but you're like, one of them was top tier people writing comedy, and the other one was just lazy sitcoms.
Yeah,
shit.
I mean,
and they were back to back.
Just to clarify, I'm not saying I don't like Friends because I find it problematic.
True.
That's different.
Yeah.
Like, I love Seinfeld and I love a bunch of problematic shows. I always found Friends annoying. And if I want a cozy show, I watch Frasier.
Oh, I love
Frasier. I like Frasier.
Frasier was great.
Yeah.
I grew up on Frasier.
So, Niles Crane was always a role model for me.
So, your question leads remarkably well, not necessarily into the next question, but into our last episode. Because Dan Karen is like a sitcom guy.
Yeah.
Like, we were like, oh, what books and whatever, and like... Walter and I are big wrestling fans. Lawrence is a wrestling fan and all that stuff. And like, Dan Karen was like, sitcoms are the most formative thing to my comedy. I think about sitcoms all the time.
That makes a lot of sense knowing Dan, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Like he's the first and possibly only person who was like, I could just sit down and watch Everybody Loves Raymond for 8 hours.
Dan
and
is the
be,
only
like,
person that laughs.
Content.
Like, he's the only person that laughs sometimes when I say dumb shit around him.
Yeah.
And I think it's mostly because of this.
Yeah, but like, he was like, Everybody Loves Raymond is such a perfect, like, he was so into describing what makes Everybody Loves Raymond. I was like,
it's a solid show.
But like, at best, I'm like, if it's on at a hotel or something.
My fucking parents love Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah,
my parents love Everybody Loves Raymond.
So then, but, and again, what he really enjoyed was, he was like, A, the comfort level of like, I know these characters, I know what I'm getting into, I'm not sitting down to be like shocked or like engaged in like a aggressive way. But then he was like, as a writer, he's like, or a comedian, he's like, I enjoy watching them navigate the template of sitcom. So it's not bad that you talked about sitcoms and led into a Daniel Karen question, because I've never heard anybody like defend sitcom as a like as an art form the most that Dan did.
I love sitcoms. I love sitcoms. I haven't watched enough new ones recently, but yeah, I would. Maybe later in the year I'm going to have more free time. I'm not going to go into details. Maybe I'll start watching a lot of sitcoms.
Start ramming into sitcoms.
Or Deadwood.
Deadwood's not a sitcom.
That's not a sitcom.
I mean, and I'm just saying it's another show you could watch.
It is a show. It's a
show.
Another sitcom I love rewatching is the Larry Sanders
show. Oh, my God.
Larry Sanders is great.
Actually?
Right? Yeah.
It's like one of my fucking favorite things of all time.
Great
I fucking
one.
Love Larry
great
Sanders,
one.
Man.
Can't bring up Larry Sanders without talking about Gary Shandling getting weird with Sarah.
One time we met. We met Gary Shandling once.
Really?
At a JFL party.
He was very interested in my wife.
Very. Like, very charmed by Keith's wife.
But like to the point where you're like, oh, it's like a bit, and he's kind of just being a weird, charming old man, and then it went like further, and you're like, oh, no.
Just like, a super funny bit.
Like, you're like, oh, no, it's going
R.I.P.
past.
R.I.P. Gary Shandling.
Exactly. But it was, like, parts of it were very funny and charming, and then...
I love Larry Sanders so much. Oh.
He just believed in the bit so much that he was willing to go there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm. R.I.P. Gary. So Dan Caron wanted to know, what is something that you cannot do, but wish that you could? Be it like a skill, a talent.
How is this tied into sitcoms?
I was just saying that it tied into Dan Caron.
Oh shit. Okay.
I said it doesn't
all
tie
right,
into
okay.
his question.
All
it
right,
ties into the
right,
guest.
Crowd work.
Hey!
Whoa! No.
Well, you're talking to the crowd work king of Montreal. So if you want, I could offer some tips.
No.
And you've already said that you're not good at it, and that you want the advice. So I feel like if I were to offer you advice, it wouldn't be unsolicited at this point. So.
Just no. The next hour is Walter's crowd work. Crowd work symposium.
I would like to be good at meditation.
Oh.
And spirituality and shit like that.
I get that.
Like
people who are just sort of like, oh, I'm just gonna do like a 15-minute meditation. It's gonna reset my day. I'm like,
well,
fuck
do you. Wanna, okay,
fuck
hold
you
on.
With you
follow
can
up question.
Reset.
Follow up to that. Do you want to be more spiritual or do you want to be more centered? Like, do you want to
centered? Yeah.
Because like either is fine, but. I feel it's two different.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I mean, I feel like, you know,
do you
want
to commune with eternity, or do you want to have 15 minutes to center yourself and reset and, like, go?
That one sounds good.
Yeah, that's the one I'm
latter,
into.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm more into that than connecting with eternity. Yeah. And I like
a lot of noise, a lot of just vibrant, kind of crazy energy. Just
everything is yelling.
Never
at
being
me.
Quiet and just having, you know, loud voices inside and outside my head.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
I get that. Raquel, tables have turned. What question do you want to ask our next guest? And I guess Walter and I will answer as well, because we usually...
Okay. I will ask the next guest, what is something that they are really good at, but people may not know about? And excuse my bad English grammar.
It's okay. So, like, kind of like a hidden talent?
Yeah, a hidden talent. What is your hidden talent?
I don't know. This is the first thing that came to mind because I had a story that attached to it. The Dreamcast, arcade and Dreamcast game Power Stone. I'm, like, absurdly good at.
No one knows what that is.
It's fine.
No one even knows what that is.
No one ever will.
This is beyond a secret talent.
Here's
this
the
is
story.
Not a little known.
I've
like,
never heard about
what the
it.
Fuck?
Here's the story. So it's a Capcom game, and the principle of the game is, like, sort of like a 3D... It's a 3D fighter where you run around, but, like, it's much more... The game is sort of geared like a platformer. There's a lot of, like, jumping elements in the 3D. It's not 3D in the sense of, like, a Tekken or whatever. And I'm... unbelievably good at that game to the point where we went to Penny Arcade Expo one year and they had it like set up and I was like, oh, I'll try. I beat everybody who was lined up to play because people started to be lined up to play. Then the core mechanic of the game is you need to collect 3 power stones to unlock your super mode for all your super moves. I was like, I'm gonna start beating people without getting the power stones. I'm just going to not use my supers. And then I still beat another, like, 10 people. And then I was like, I need to go to dinner goodbye. and like had to like walk away from a lineup of people, and they were like boo, and people like booed me walking away because I had to leave.
That's not why they were booing.
No, they were upset. Like it was like it drew a lineup at PAX. Like
you, oh no, they're booing because I'm leaving. That's not why they were booing.
No, people were like, oh my god, I can beat you, and like people were like lining up to challenge.
Oh
and I
no,
was,
they're booing because they want me to stay on stage more and tell more jokes. Oh no,
no.
That's surely why they're booing.
One guy was like, I think I can get him. But yeah, I was like,
there goes Keith. Oh, how we love him.
Unbelievably talented at a game that nobody knows
he
or cares about.
He was so good
about.
At that video game. Oh, nobody, there he
it's
goes.
It's not like Street Fighter
never
or
to
Mortal
see him
Kombat
again.
Or like one of the cool
I
ones.
I had never heard
and
of
then
that.
And then everybody
booed. Exactly. And that's... Like that's why no one will ever know.
Come back.
I'm glad some people. John was there. Pat was there.
Yeah, I bet.
And they were like, yeah.
This I bet they'll
is,
all confirm this story.
You can. They can. You can.
I'm literally never gonna bring this up again.
Nor should you.
Yeah.
But it would be like
such a
it's
dumb
just
story.
Because it's a weird. But the question was, what is something?
Yeah,
you're
no,
good
I know.
At?
I heard the fucking question.
But yeah, it's like a game that is like there's no clout to being like. If it was Street Fighter, people would be like, oh shit, you're good at Street Fighter. I'm like, no. Not Street Fighter. This other game that no one knows or cares about. I've mastered it for no reason. There's no reason, and there's almost no bragging rights attached.
Gee, that was great, Keith. My answer was just going to be I'm a pretty good cook.
Oh. Yeah, but everybody knows that. You're always
not
like,
everybody knows that.
But everybody's like, come day, over to my it, house. I'm going to make
yeah,
insert.
Yeah, and then Zach, you know Zach Kick?
Your
familiar
cousin?
With Zach Kick?
Yeah,
my
yeah.
supposed actual cousin, Zach Kick. He shows up to my place the other day, and we were doing a brunch deal. I don't know if you were at that one, but like, and I made all this goddamn food, and he was in. He's like thanking my wife. She's like, Walter.
Wow,
this.
He just
goes,
locked in
goes,
the gender norms.
He goes,
like,
oh wow. He's like, you made this stuff. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Zach. Yeah, I fucking made the food. Like, I invited everybody. Yeah. And,
I
like,
would never for a second. I mean, I've known Catherine longer than you, but I would never for a second think it was Catherine.
No, yeah, I know. I'm married to her, and I know it's not her. Like. Anyway, that's it.
Do you have a talent that you'd like to share?
And this one day I made an omelet for a bunch of fucking people at an egg
Walter
expo,
made,
and then everybody booed me when I left because I wasn't fucking making delicious food anymore.
I would say the one, there's two times that have jumped to mind about you making food that are, one was delicious, but like I don't know if it was worth the effort.
And I popped your dad that one time.
Well, no, I was thinking of when you made potatoes for like 5 hours.
Oh yeah, I spent like 5 hours making potatoes.
He was like. Slow simmer.
Woke up before everybody. You know, it's like, Walter, why are you awake? I'm like, you gotta start the potatoes.
He was making potatoes for hours. They were delicious, but I don't know if the hours to potatoes.
It's just I also have ADD. It's also I have like crazy ADD and shit. So it's like it takes me forever to like. I'm not a fast efficient cooker. You know, things take long. You know, like.
And the other one was more recently was when Walter decided he just had to make crunch wraps.
Yeah, you ever have a...
And he was like, I'm going to make a crunch wrap. And
have you ever been to Taco Bell once in your life?
Have I?
Have you ever been to a Taco
yeah,
Bell?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, avoid, so avoid one of their classic items is a crunch wrap supreme.
Okay, I'm not familiar with it.
And it's like a big tortilla with like a small a crunchy tortilla on the inside, and there's like a crunchy part, and then a big tortilla gets wrapped around it.
Like it's like a quesadilla like folded in on itself and then like crisped on the outside so there's a crunch to
it. Yeah, I watched a couple TikTok videos and smoked some weed, and I'm like, I want to make this, and I decided I was going to...
And they were pretty good. Like from a, I don't know... how to make them to, he was whipping up crunch wraps, and they were like...
Who wants a crunch wrap? I'm getting really aggressive about it. I'm like, you want a crunch wrap? I was like Oprah with crunch wraps.
But yeah, so is there a talent? We didn't tell you that we were going to
turn the
crunch wrap.
I think all my hidden talents, you know, there's good reasons why they're hidden.
Like your NBA team is number one and has been for a decade in NBA manager.
No, but... yeah, I mean, I'm very good at very obscure video games. I don't want to talk about it. I'm just reflecting on the fact that all my hidden talents are very lame.
I just opened up about being bad. Good
did anybody
at
ever
I'm
boo
very
you?
Good at a game that no one cares about.
I'm very good at political geography.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. You can, like, you know, you show me a map, and I can pinpoint what year is it from the
shit.
Borders.
Okay, so... Side question.
Of everywhere? Global maps?
World map.
Really?
So, Ines and I, sadly she's moved to Toronto. But in SNI,
like so long ago.
I know it's been a year and a bit. But we like, but like literally,
you're
like
still sad about it.
We like, enjoy. It's still sad because we don't get
it's
to do
objectively.
We don't
sad,
get
yeah.
to do trivia on Sundays. So the Ines and I, Keith Heisterman trivia experience is, Ines steers the ship. I will cover some like geeky nerdy elements, and then everybody else at the table gets to chip in on one or two questions. But we have openly admitted to each other that like geography is our like our
oh,
hole.
Yeah.
Like our trivia hole. We're
no
both
one's
like
good
oh
at geography.
No.
I'm
so
very
I'm saying
good.
That if I, ever
you're like the first one. I've never met anybody
if
that's
ever
like,
if ever Ines is in town and we're gonna like get the gang back together.
And what's
I'm,
where does
I'm
this
gonna
come
be
from?
Like we're gonna call in Raquel where and she's gonna be the geography
yeah, maps ringer. Maps and flags. I'm good at that.
Whoa.
It
yeah.
comes from like my parents' first failed business was like a stationery store, and in Spain, stationery stores used to sell textbooks.
Okay.
So when they closed it, they kept a bunch of textbooks
oh,
from
wow.
old for older. I was like three or 4 years old.
Yeah.
And I was like an introverted kid.
Young Raquel just blasting through
textbooks. Instead of going outside and play with the neighbors, I was just reading textbooks for kids older than me, and I really liked, you know, the
soaked
geography.
I love the, like the concept though, and I'm not saying this happened, but like the concept of you, like there's like kids outside playing sports, and you're like, hey, that's pretty cool. Want to come inside and see my advanced textbooks?
No. Like
y'all know where the Greenwich Meridian is? Eh?
You'll be surprised what they'll put in a textbook
and, you
when
know.
It's written for 12-year-olds. You're like, Raquel, you're 4.
I was born in 87. So then, you know, being exposed at the breakup of the Soviet Union and all these new countries, that was very fun.
Because you're like, oh,
me.
One year to year. The
yeah,
map
it was like,
that is pretty
new,
cool, though.
New
like,
countries were popping up.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that must have been like to be, I mean, we're like, you're much closer to the action there, obviously, with all the, I mean, post Berlin Wall coming down.
Yeah.
Which, like, which wasn't even, like, on, which was, like, barely on my radar. I was born in 86, and, like, my first, like, media memory is OJ getting caught. So, like, I was like, I didn't know shit about the Berlin Wall, you know, like.
I mean, I didn't know much, but, like, you know, new things were popping up in maps,
sure.
and I was very drawn to maps. And, yeah,
like
and that's why I'm this weird.
So you're now in my back pocket for if we ever
call
do
a friend.
Exactly.
You yeah.
If we're ever
we'll
doing a trivia night and the stars align, you're going to be our geography ringer.
Actually, there was one time in Barfly, I did the Barfly open mic, left the bar. In the metro, I realized I had left my purse in there, went back. It was the trivia. And in 30 seconds that I was there grabbing my purse, Kaya Levy and Caroline Garon, two comedians, were there doing the trivia. And it was like a flags question. And just
and
in 30 seconds,
and you're like,
I was like, give it to me. And I wrote all the answers, and they won that round.
Yeah.
And I back. With my purse.
1,000 bonus points.
Yeah,
we. I don't know if you watch Drag Race, but
I don't.
Drag Race is in. No, but like, but the trivia
Hot
that we
take.
Used, the trivia that we used to go to had like a Drag Race thing, and it was like literally like they're like it's a Drag Race. We'd just be like choop and just like shoot the paper over to Ines and then like talk amongst ourselves while we would like. For the entire rank.
Yeah.
Like, knowing that we were gonna like
my
run
wife,
that.
My Catherine would kill that.
Yeah, exactly. Knowing that we were gonna like. Get all the points. We're just sort of like, this is not something that we can contribute to, but like we're about to like run this round.
All right, Keith, my parking's running up here, so we got our round
right.
of the episode.
So the final, a very pretentious comedy show until the summer.
Yeah.
So get your tickets now, April, March 31st.
March 31st.
Polly Mike at Notre Dame de Kiel.
Yeah.
Key.
Kill.
Key.
Je ne sais pas.
And then obviously June 6th to 16th.
Admiring librarians.
Admiring librarians.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to throw out there?
Come see me in Barcelona.
If you're in Barcelona,
I would love
June.
Nothing
we
more.
Just, we just also
June,
we barely even mentioned the fact that Raquel was booked to a festival in Barcelona.
Oh, that probably would have been a good thing to put out there, right?
I mean, I don't
know. That's actually legit impressive.
No, but it's like it's super cool, but I don't know how many of our listeners.
Do you think you'll get to meet Billy Corgan?
Is he in Barcelona?
If you meet Billy Corgan, no, because he's on the festival. The Smashing Pumpkins are on the festival.
I do the Friday, and he's going to be on Saturday.
Who's the headline act on the Friday?
Maybe
Avril
Lavigne.
Oh.
Just two Canadian gals in Barcelona.
Yeah.
Even though you're from Spain.
Yeah. I'm a Canadian. I'm a citizen.
Exactly.
I'm a Canadian citizen.
Same. Are you going to wear like a tie over a t-shirt like Avril?
Maybe I will.
Just as a shout out.
Yeah.
Walter, do you have anything to throw out there?
Oh boy, I don't know. JFL showcase is coming up.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I don't know who's gonna come to it.
Just collapse showcase at World Smalls.
World Smalls getting a JFL showcase.
Nice.
Again this year. What else? That's it.
World Smalls every Monday.
Do I have anything that I'm forgetting?
I don't know.
Wait, is it coming out? Oh, no, wait, that show is before that. Oh, okay, one thing.
Late March, early April.
April 20th, of course, if you haven't, Vance, our good friend Vance, Michelle, is recording a YouTube special, some sort of recorded special on 420 at the Art Loft. I'm not only allowed into the Art Loft for the occasion, but I'll also be hosting the show.
If you're a longtime fan... You know, is a special occasion of itself.
It's a special in all occasions, in all senses of the term. So yeah, that's that. You awesome. Definitely go check two shows apparently.
We'll see how the first one goes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Raquel, thank you so much for coming out.
Thank
that
you
was
so
awesome.
Much for having
Thanks,
me
Raquel.
On the podcast.
Hey there, loyal listener who listens to the show all the way past the closing credits. Thank you for listening to Go Plug Yourself. We really, really appreciate it. If you enjoy the show, I cannot stress this enough, please tell people about it. We don't really have a budget for marketing or fancy Facebook ads or putting up billboards on the street. We really have to rely on word of mouth, which basically means that if you listen to the show and you enjoy the show, please share it, link it, tell your friends about it. Say, hey, there's this show called Go Plug Yourself. They talk to Montrealers or people that have stuff going on in Montreal or just people that have stuff to promote that we kind of care about. We can go outside of Montreal if we want to. So just tell people about the show. It's a fun show. We like doing it a lot. We've done it for over 200 episodes, and it's in large part thanks to support from people like you. If you want to support the show at all, you can go to patreon.com/9to5cc and throw a couple bucks our way. It really helps with the hosting fees for the most part. We're really not trying to make a profit on this. And also, if you want to be a guest on the show or you know someone who might want to be a guest on the show, you can contact us either on Facebook or on Twitter. There's a bunch of ways to find us and let us know. And if the scheduling and the timing and everything works out, maybe you can be the next person who comes on the show and plugs something. Big thank you, as always, to Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude, who provided our theme songs, and of course a thank you to all of the hosts that we have on the show. Walter J. Ling, who is technically retired but still sometimes hosts, Christopher Vendito, Lawrence Korber, and Ines Anaya, are all amazing co-hosts, and you should support them and their comedy and all of that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for choosing Go Plug Yourself as one of your from the millions of podcasts, and have a beautiful day. Thank you.
9to5.cc, podcasts, blogs, and comics, made in Montreal since 2011.